take somebody by the hand this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that something is about to happen. I stand in agreement. I stand in faith. I stand expecting. I stand believing, God, that something is about to happen to bless my sister, my brother. I thank you, Lord, that you're in this place, giving you all glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Woo. I like that. Okay. Now, some of you aren't singers. I'm not a singer either. Now, I like to sing. But you got to look at somebody and sing to them. Something happened. Come on, tell them. Before you're seated. Something happened. Thank you, Brother Jay. Awesome. All right, you can be seated. Something happened. You know, when you get that bubbly inside, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? You get walking around and you just, like, can't sit still, you know. It just gets inside of you. And you go into the restaurant trying to be cool, waiting in line for the maitre d' to come and give you a seat. And you're like, something happened. Yeah, you just can't help it. You just can't help it. You get home from church. It's like, how was church? It was okay. How's the game? Oh, it was all right. Should have come to church. It's exciting for sure. Hey, look, I don't know where you all go on Wednesday night. Maybe you bowl or something. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. We've been dealing with the book of Revelation. It's been blowing my socks off. And, you know, all this stuff that's going on with Libya and Iran and Bahrain and some of the places we don't even know existed, right? And all of this revolution that's happening, these regimes that are changing, and the sentiments of the NATO and the United Nations, and the cooling off of our nation with Israel. I tell you what, it's getting to be set up for the last act. And I don't know. I just don't know. But you want to check it out on Wednesday night at 7. It's free admission. We don't even charge, so we'd love to have you. It'd be wonderful. Hey, did you bring a Bible this morning? Yeah. All right, something's about to happen, so you better get it open. You know, last week we were talking about it's turnaround time. And if you're looking for seats in the back, they've got plenty of them right over here. Come on up to the front. We've got plenty of them over here. Come on up over on this side. And thank God that you're all here. But we're talking about a turnaround time. God wants to do something that only God can do. You know, like when we began to hear that whole thing about Japan, I mean, the Holy Ghost put a word in my spirit. He began to say, look, I'm the only one that can move a whole island 13 feet. I'm the only one that can speed up the entire earth on its axis. Tell the people I'm about to do what only I can do, and what used to take so long, I'm about to do in just a second, just a moment. This is a new hour, new season. You and I have got to begin to embrace it. Remember last week, we threw our hands up in the air, and we did like this, whoosh, remember? We said, I'm going to receive that word, whoosh. And that's what we did, because if you're open to it, if you and I are open to what God wants to do, new doors, new opportunities, new things are coming. This is a new season in which you and I live. And we've got to be careful that we don't chart today or tomorrow based on the pathways of yesterday. This is all new today. God's doing a new thing in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. So lift your hand up and just say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Some of you got that down real good. I'm going to make Pentecostals out of you yet, you know. I tell you, before you know it, you'll be standing up saying, preach, pastor. That's what you'll be doing. That's right. It just gets in you. And then once it gets in you, it gets on you. And then when it gets on you, you're finished. You just can't handle it anymore. But I want you to go to Psalm 30, because this is what the psalmist's testimony was. And up on the screen, I want you to read it with me. This is a powerful scripture. It's a powerful testimony. And you need to receive this for yourself, that this is what God has got planned for your life. Are you ready? Let's read it. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing, and you've put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. See, that's why it's a new season. That's why it's a new time. You see, all the mourning, all the loss, all the regret that you and I have ever had or experienced in our past, God's turning it. God's turning it. And he says, that mourning, that sackcloth that you've been wearing, that reminder, that memory that you can't get out of your mind, that the people around you, the circumstances that keep telling you that you ought to be in a place of loss, all that's going to change. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Northeastern Ohio is in for an abrupt change. And it's for the good. Amen? Everybody say, it's for the good. It's for the kingdom of God. God is up to something. Look at somebody and say, God's been thinking about you. Yes, he has. He's got you on his mind. And when you're on God's mind, you're about to see some things change in your life. This is what the prophet said, Isaiah 43. Look at verses 18 to 19. He said this, don't remember the former things. Don't even remember. Don't even consider the things of old. See, this has been our problem. We always want to go back and we can't go forward because we're always trying to retrace and redo and trying to get everything from back there into here. But look, just leave it. Just walk away from it. God said, don't even remember it. Don't even go back there. Don't check it out. Don't box it up. Don't ship it. Leave it. And he said, I'm going to do something that is new. He said in verse 19, read it with me, ready? Behold, I will do a new thing. And I like the next part. It says, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? It's going to spring forth. In other words, it's going to come so quickly. It's going to come without notice. It's not going to send you a message ahead of time to get ready. It's just going to spring forth. It's sort of like looking into the flower beds and all of a sudden, boom, there they are, the flowers. They came up. You didn't see them the day before, but today they're there. And God says, I'm going to cause things to spring forth in your life. And I like the last part of this verse. He said, I'm even going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And you know what that tells me? That tells me I'm going to do some things in a place that ordinarily we don't do. Nobody invests in a wilderness and put an infrastructure in a wilderness because nobody lives in a wilderness. Nothing can be built in a wilderness. There's no development in a wilderness. So why would you want to build an infrastructure? Why would you want to build roads? Because God has a plan of transformation of that which has been lying dormant in our life and in our region, in our city, in our families, in our marriage, in our children. I'm telling you, everybody, just put your stuff aside, put your hands up in the air and get ready to grab it. And when you pull it in, just go whoosh. Ready? One, two, three. Whoosh. See, you and I have got to receive it. You and I have got to be open to it. You and I have got to allow Jesus to put his fingers in our ears, speak our own language and put his spittle on our tongue and say, the power that's been in me is now going to come on you. And what you couldn't hear, you're going to start hearing. And what you couldn't say, you're going to start saying, because you're going to be a powerful testimony. I'm changing things. This is a new season in our lives. This is a new season in our homes as well. So God said, I'm going to take this wilderness. I'm going to transform it. I'm going to put a river there because you're going to need a river. In other words, I'm going to make a way where there hasn't been a way, but then I'm going to provide sustenance along the way. The river's going to follow the road. It's going to be a winding road, but listen, the river will wind right with you. And when you need a refreshment, when you need a drink, when you need a moment for me to let you know that I'm still with you and I haven't forsaken you and I haven't forgotten about you because I'm about to do a new thing. Just sit there and just dip down into that cool river and take that refreshing from me because I'm going to rebuild the waste places. I'm going to redo what you thought is over. Everybody say it with me. It's not over till it's over. You see, you and I have got to get this in our hearts and be convinced today that God still has a plan for our life. See, I've been thinking about this, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much life you've wasted. And I have to tell you, there were some times I was wasted in my life. That's all I live for, to go out and get wasted. I don't know why, but I did, and so did you. Some of you don't look at me like that. Your halo is crooked on your horns. Come on. Everybody has lived to be wasted. We've wasted money. We've wasted opportunity. We've wasted relationships. But how many know God is about to restore and renew what has been lost? Now, I'm just not preaching as much as I'm prophesying. So all you got to do is just whoosh. You got to receive it. You've got to be open to it. You've got to be ephatha. You have to be open. You have to be ready to receive what God is saying. See, that deaf and dumb man in Mark chapter 7, when he came to Jesus, he had no idea that Psalm 89 was going to burst into his life. Psalm 89 said, it's blessed are those who hear the joyful sound. They will begin to walk in the light of his countenance. In other words, this sound that you're hearing today is going to cause you to walk differently than you've ever walked before. Walk with your marriage, walk with your church, walk with your children, walk with your business. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, if God can take Peter out of an inner cell, past the first gate and past the second gate, and come up to the iron gate of a city that leads into every opportunity that he's ever needed. And previous to that, he got to the first, got to the second, but always got turned back. And so many of us have always got turned back when it counted the most. But this is a new day. God said, I'm going to do a new thing. In other words, he said this, I'm going to make the iron gate of the city, just like Peter in Acts chapter 12, open up for you, and nobody is going to have to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put God's Holy Ghost remote control on it, and I'm going to cause it to open up for you. Are you ready to receive that? All right, one more time. And I know sometimes you just have to play with the preacher. So put your hands up in the air and get ready to receive it. Ready? Whoosh. Yeah, I'm going to receive it. Whether you sit there and think I'm goofy or foolish or kind of just gone too far or not, I don't really care, because I have had enough of the wilderness. I have had enough of not enough, and I'm ready to move forward. So I'm about to receive it. See, Joel chapter 2 and verse 25 speaks to Israel, but it speaks to God's people. He says, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to restore for the years. Those years of barrenness, I'm going to give you fruitfulness. Those years when you didn't have enough, I'm going to give you more than enough. Those years, not just months, not just weeks. And God really spoke to me, and he said, Lou, listen to me. The years that you've labored, the years that you've prayed, the years that you believed, the years that you worked, and it didn't come out the way you thought, and it didn't happen, and this happened, and that betrayal took place, and this thing let you down, and that thing hurt your heart, and this place when you're almost ready to quit, and you saw the finances fall apart, and you saw this happen in your family, and you saw that happen in your church. All the years, 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 not months, not weeks, years. And I'm speaking to somebody. Years in your life are about to be restored. And God said, I'm going to do it. Church isn't going to do it. Preachers can't do it. Your next seminar, your $1,000 gift won't do it. Hear me now. God is about to do it on his own. He's about to move your Japan. He's about to speed up your process, because only God can be God all by himself. He goes on to say, he said, that thing that's been crawling and eating, that thing that's been consuming, that thing that's been chewing, I'm going to restore unto you. You know, I began to ask the Lord, I said, well, God, what does it look like? If you're going to do this for me, shouldn't things change? Now, my wife and I spend time in front of a television on occasion. We only watch two channels. Number one, news, and number two, HGTV. It's not my preference, but, you know, mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So, but nonetheless, I've always thought, you know, it's going to be me at Lowe's or DIY or somewhere where I'm in the store looking for some tile for my bathroom, and somebody's going to tap on my shoulder and say, I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to redo your whole bathroom, and we're going to pay for it, and we're putting it on TV. But nobody ever taps me on the shoulder, and nobody ever follows me home. And sometimes we think, God, if you're going to touch me, if you're going to open up doors, and things ought to look different the next day. But sometimes you just wake up to the same old wilderness. Nothing's really changed. And I want to introduce you today to the change that God wants to bring. It's not necessarily what you can see with your eyes. It's not necessarily what's going to happen around you. But it's more about what's happening in you. He put his fingers in his ears, and he put his spittle on his tongue. And there's something inside of you that's beginning to grow, that's going to make a difference. It's in the emergence of a remnant of God on the earth that has never, write it down, been seen before. 430 years, Israel was silent, no prophetic voice. Think about it. Until Matthew chapter 3. Read it with me, verses 1 to 3, if you can put it up on the screen. It was John the Baptist we're talking about. Because you see, God had touched him. And God was about to turn things around in the earth. And in those days, John the Baptist came preaching. Not in the redone bathroom, not in the redone living room, not in the glorious life that had changed supernaturally. No, he came preaching in the wilderness. The wilderness hadn't changed. The wilderness has always been the wilderness, but now there was something in the wilderness that had never been seen before. It was a man named John. And he came preaching, and the word really in the Greek is announcing, publishing. He came declaring a new sound that he had heard and new words that came from his mouth. And the next verse in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 3 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your thinking about what you've been believing. Change your mentality about what you've been experiencing. Can I make an announcement? Church is about to change. Your faith in Christianity and the way you've defined it is being altered. It's being changed. God is raising up a voice. God is raising up a remnant that has never been seen on the face of the earth. Up until this time, they had never witnessed a John the Baptist. For 430 years, there was no prophetic word. But now a prophetic word was coming forth. And it was speaking the joyful sound. It was declaring that which God had done inside of him for this purpose. And suddenly things began to transform. You see, John was a man with a new personality. John was a man with new principles to live by. And I want to introduce you to your turnaround. It's the matter of us adjusting who we have been into what God is transforming us into becoming. This generation will not find God in a supernatural way with the same old, same old. God said, you got to forget what you've been doing. You've got to look at the new that I'm about to do. I'm about to put something in you that is going to literally transform all of what you've experienced up till now. It's a powerful, powerful statement if you think about it with me. Because it's the introduction of the new, never before seen standard. The new, never before seen standard of what it takes to be a Bible believing, devil stomping, tongue talking, blood covenant walking believer in the earth. Yeah, they're emerging, they're coming forth. They're coming in obscure places. They don't have to have everything right. They don't have to have 3 cars in a garage. My God, they don't even need a garage. They don't have to have fancy clothes and diamond bling bling. They've got something greater. They don't have to have lots of money in the bank. And they don't have to have prosperity and success. They carry something in their belly that makes them dangerous on the earth. And John came forth in the wilderness. So I want to encourage you, even though things might not have changed from last Sunday to this Sunday, those outward circumstances may not have adjusted from last week to this week, but something is adjusting in you, and you now are open to receiving what God wants to do. Listen to this, the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord always demands the emergence of a new people who have heard a joyful sound from the living God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4 tells us in our text of John the Baptist. John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. It's a new personality of a believer. They're unlike any other believers in the past. You can't stereotype them. You can't say they must be hanging out with that camp Oh, they're from the Copeland camp. No, 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 they're from the Creflo Dollar camp. Oh, no, 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 they're from the Rod Parsley camp. Oh, no, no, you can't characterize this group because they've never been seen before. It is unlike anything this earth has ever recognized before. It is a voice crying out in a wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And their personality is different than any other personality. Number one, they come wearing camel's hair. Now, this is interesting because camel's hair is very coarse. Know this, that John the Baptist wasn't wearing some refined cotton garment. He wasn't wearing some silk satiny garment. He was wearing coarse camel hair clothing right off the back of the camel. And it speaks this way. This personality of the new believer is a person that likes it raw and real and radical. I don't want you to water down the message. I don't want you to alter it, adulterate it, compromise it. Just give it to me the way it is. Give me right off the horse's mouth. I want the word of the living God, and I'm comfortable wearing it. It's a new Christian. It's not a Christian that has to make a soft sell. It's not a believer that has to be made comfortable in church. They don't mind if they're scratchy and itchy when they walk around in this clothing of God's prophetic utterance. It's all right because they realize that camel's hair, coarse as it is God's reality. It speaks of his word unadulterated and uncompromised, and they're hungry for it. Notice they just don't carry it. They wear it. They wear it like clothing. They're clothed in it. And this is the people that are emerging out of this touch, this new thing that has not been seen. The emergence of a new remnant on the earth that's going to literally transform America. I believe we are in the greatest revival that America will ever see. It'll be the precursor to the greatest revival historically of mankind. Once the tribulation comes, multiplied millions will be saved. But we'll start to dribble in on what God's going to do in this last hour with this emergence of prepare the way of the Lord. It is those people who have heard the joyful sound, who said enough's enough, who's looking to have everything that's been lost restored, all barrenness become fruitful, their families living for Jesus Christ, not becoming a statistic of the 90 percentile, but being the one, being part of those who say, as for me and my house, come on, lift your hand right there, say it with me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, we will. Say it again. As for me and my house. Come on, you need to declare it. We will serve the Lord. But he tells us not only with camel's hair, but he's going to be coming wearing a leather belt. Holding everything together is a leather belt. And it speaks of somebody's hide. No, it speaks of somebody's life. Meaning you can't take a piece of the leather off the cow without taking the cow. And John came not only with an unadulterated, uncompromised word of the living God, but he came with life of sacrifice that held it all together. Wearing that leather belt spoke of to his generation saying, no cost too great, no mountain too high, no valley too low. They have a resolve about them that says, whatever it takes, we're going to serve the living God. We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to quit. We're not walking backwards. We're not bowing down. We're going to stand tall upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe for the victory. You see, I believe I'm among those kind of people in this room this morning. I believe you didn't choose to come here. God has been yanking on your spiritual chain to get you to assemble together with a bunch of other crazy remnant kind of Christians who say, you know what, I've heard something and it's not changed much, but I know God is about to do something that I had not seen up until this time in the history of the church. Everybody, you just got to be open to it. Come on, throw your hands in the air. Ready, receive it. Whoosh, I'm ready to receive it. I'm taking it in. I'm open to it. And then it tells us, locusts and honey. He comes eating locusts and honey. Now, some theologians say it wasn't really grasshoppers that he was eating. It was like a fruit off of a tree. Well, if you really study it out, it very well could have been a literal grasshopper. A delicacy in the Middle East. Of course, I don't think that'll ever catch on here at Bob's Big Boy or Burger King. But he came devouring or eating or consuming a locust. And if you put back in your mind Joel 2 and verse 25, that talks about the locust coming and then the swarming locust and then the crawling locust and how the waves of that which devoured and stole and took away and stripped bare. Here comes this voice. Here comes this Christian who comes with the unadulterated word of the living God. Coarse as camel hair. Give it to me raw, preacher. Give it to me radical. I want it right from the God's mouth. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't water it down. Don't try to keep me in the pew. Just tell me how I'm supposed to live. And they come with sacrifice in their belly. They come with sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And then they come chewing and consuming and devouring the very thing that consumed and devoured them. God said the turnaround is going to be this. The very thing that used to take you down, you're going to take it down. The very thing that used to push you back, you're about to push it back. The very thing that used to jump down on your case, you're about to jump down on its case. The very thing that would cause failure in your life, you are about to cause to fail. Because I'm going to give you dominion and victory over every realm of your life that previously has been a place of defeat. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got to do it. I've got to receive it. I've got to be open to it. I've got to walk in it. I can't just hear it. I got to be a James 1 and 22 Christian. Be therefore doers of the word and not mere hears only. I'm going to do this thing. I don't really care whether you come with me or not. I'm not out to win an election. I'm not trying to be the preacher of the year. I'm not trying to be liked or disliked. All I've got is one thing in my mind. I've got to be that remnant on the face of the earth that announces the way of the Lord, that Jesus is about to come back to the earth. It's a new personality. But we live by new principles. And the new principles are simply this out of Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John, speaking of Jesus. And they asked them a question. What did you come out in the wilderness to see? Now I want you to know that in this text, when Jesus asks a question, how many know it's important? All right, when he asks it a second time, what did you come out to see? Are you getting the hint that maybe it ought to be really important? But what if he were to ask it a third time? What did you come out into the wilderness to see? Would you be convinced that this is an important point that the Son of God is trying to make? In our text, Luke 7, Jesus asks the question three times. The first time he answers it and says this, did you come to see a reed shaking in the wind? And we can interpret that very simply this way. Did you come to church this morning expecting to see it the way it's always been? Did you come to see the people you've been hanging out with the way you've been hanging out with them? That one Sunday they're up on top of it, the next Sunday they're underneath it. One Sunday they're believing God, and the next Sunday they're not believing God. They're like a reed shaken in the wind. They're like a double-minded man. Believe God one moment, don't believe God the next moment. That's what the church has been. And Jesus said, did you come expecting to see that? Let me tell you, that's not what you'll see in John. That's not what you'll see in this emergence of a new remnant that's on the earth. They're not moved by circumstances. They're not moved by the winds that blow of adversity. They're not moved by trial or tribulation because they're no longer living under the rock. They're standing upon it. And Jesus asks the question, what did you come to see? In verse 26, I want you to read this particular scripture with me. He asked the question, let's read it on verse 26. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. Say that last phrase with me again. More than a prophet. One more time. More than a prophet. Now just say the first two words of that last phrase. Ready? More than. This remnant will begin to walk in more than they've ever known. More than failure. More than the trouble. More than the lack. More than the marriage that you've been in. More than the trouble in that marriage. More than. God says, eyes have seen and ears have not heard. All that I have prepared for those who love me. This is a season of more than. Just look at somebody and say, get ready for more than. Get ready for more than. Get ready for more than. More than failure. More than your past. More than your addiction. More than what you've known. More than the worthlessness that you felt. More than the rejection. More than the hurt. More than the disappointment in church. More than any preacher's ever told you. More than you've ever received from God. Come on, throw your hands up in the air and say, more than. Not satisfied with the way things have been. I've got to have more than. Jesus said, did you come to church expecting to see what you've always seen? You better get ready because it's going to be more than you've ever seen. You've heard the song 100 times if you've been in the church any length of time. And when Jay sang it, it was more than you've ever heard. You've heard this text preached 100s of times, but it's more than you've ever heard. You've prayed a prayer many times in the middle of your trial, but this is more than you've ever prayed. It's more than what you've ever witnessed. It's a more than time. You and I have to begin to get understanding of this and begin to embrace it. I've got to be open to the more than season that I'm in. Because John represents the remnant that's on the earth that is introducing a new season, a new message, a new method. We're not going to be soft anymore. You don't have to water down the message to keep me in your seat. You don't have to politicize me. Pacify me. This is a redefinition of what Christianity is all about. This is radical, raw, camel's hair style. This is the style that we come to church with leather belts on. You have to be shy about asking me to give. I live to give. My life is a sacrifice. This is who I am. It's what I am. It's what I do. And I'm going to learn to like eating locusts. I'm going to learn to devour what used to devour me. I'm going to learn to develop a hunger, a diet, a sustenance on conquering instead of being conquered. I'm going to learn to live above and not beneath. You see, it's been so long where I'm under, I'm not even sure how to stand up tall. But it's an emergence of a new people who are shouting, prepare the way, right in the middle of our wilderness. Nothing has changed, but it doesn't matter. I'm not a reed shaken in the wind. It's a new principle about which I live. But look at Luke 7:28. I'm almost finished, so hang in there. Verse 28, what does he say? He tells them about this prophet. He says this, I say to you, among those born of women, there's none greater. Not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least. Say, that's me. Don't be nervous. Say, that's me. He that is least. No, not this time, more than. He that is least is greater than. Greater than John the Baptist. Greater than the greatest voice that has ever hit the planet to introduce the salvation of mankind. To prepare the way of the Lord in repentance. Greater than. Jesus said it this way in John 12. These works that I do because I go to the Father. Greater works shall you do than I have. Greater than. You and I need to understand that there is a greater than anointing that's upon your life. There's a greater than anointing in this house. There's a greater than anointing upon this preacher. There's a greater than anointing upon your homes. Your homes are not like every other home on the street. There's a greater than anointing that's upon your life. And we're about to see spectacular supernatural provision because God has a place called there. Waiting for you. He has your provision already prepared. He told us that we are going to exceed the expectations. We're going to go beyond the expectations. We're going to go be superior to the average. Now, I just need you to help me out this morning because some of us need to talk to the devil. And I know some people say, well, you're not supposed to talk to the devil. Well, I like talking to him anyway. I like to remind him who he's messing with. I just like to let him know, you know. So put your stuff aside and stand up on your feet and help the preacher. Help the preacher a little bit. Put my little slide up there about outdo and outshine. Because we need to talk to him. We need to let the devil where we're about to go. And you and I need to declare it. Are you ready? Say, devil, I'm about to outdo you, outshine you, outrun you, outmatch you. You will be overrun and you will be overstepped. Say it again. Outdo, outshine, outrun, outmatch, overrun, overstep. One more time, say it again. Outdo, outshine, outrun, overrun, overstep. In Jesus' name. Now that's a good place to clap your hands and say hallelujah, because you and I are moving forward in God. I'm about to outshine, outdo, overstep, outrun anything the devil can throw at me. You got to understand something. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. I could tell you this morning, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm about to go up and over. I'm about to come in and break through and not break down. God is about to do in the house of God what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. You better get ready. Come on, get ready. Come on, get ready. Come on, get ready. Come on, get ready. Tell two people. Tell two people. Get ready. God, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, you got to tell somebody, get ready. Outrun. Outrun. Outshine. Overstep. Go beyond. You're greater than. More than. God is about to do what only God can do. Shout hell. Done, but I'm not quite done, so sit down. I'm almost done. Ooh, that felt good. Then Jesus says this, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. Brother Ron, I'm going to close. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 7. Give me my last scripture up there. He said this. He said, what'd you go out to see? Third time. Everybody say three. Three. Come on, give me a three. Three. Yeah, just like that. Give me three. Yeah. Not five, give me three. So I don't know how to give three. I only know how to give five. Well, that's how you give three. All right. He said, what'd you go out in the world to see? What'd you go out there to see? What'd you come in the wilderness to see? What'd you come into church to see? What'd you get up in the morning to see? What are you expecting to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Now, our translators got real nervous when they saw that word in the Greek. And they translated it in a way that is a little more palatable for us modern Christians. Ah, there it is. Malekos. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A man dressed in the feminine presentation of perverted maleness? See, you don't like that kind of preaching. That's raw camel's hair kind of preaching. That's my God, is that in the Bible? Did you come out to see a male prostitute? That's really how that word can be translated. But Jesus said, that's not what you've seen today, is it? And what was Jesus saying? Go back to my scripture if you can. He said, a man clothed in effeminate, perverted garments. Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. What he was actually saying is, if you've come to church today expecting to see the same perverted Christian message you've been listening to all your Christian life, then you're in the wrong church. I just want you to know that. You're in the wrong church. Because this isn't about making you feel comfortable or making you feel good, or somehow compromising the word so you'll stay and somehow be give more money to the church. Because let me tell you something, we don't need your money. We don't need your seat. We got plenty of people coming. Let me tell you something, God is not looking for luxury in king's courts. He says it's time for us to redefine the truth. We're bad to the bone. We're saved all the way. We're not partially saved. We're not trying to make you feel good. We're not trying to somehow define Christianity as some modern association that makes it all right to live in sin. That's perverted. Everybody say, that's perverted. We have perverted this Christian gospel into that which is an excess, whether it's into materialism, whether it's into our own physicality, whether it's in our emotionalism, whether it's in our doctrine. We have compromised, compromised, and compromised. And Jesus said, I don't know what you came to church for, but I'm telling you today, you ain't coming to this house looking at some perverted situation. That's not the truth. We're going to preach the truth, and we're going to let people know that God is still God, and the Word of God is still the Word of God, and we don't make any compromises for it. That's what he said. There are people in this room this morning. You need to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to say, look, I've had enough of this modern, postmodern Christianity seeker-friendly, garbled message of accommodation and compromise. I've had enough of it. I'm here today because I'm tired of looking for something that's not real. I've come across a man. I come across a message that doesn't look very pretty. He's in camel's hair. It's coarse. It's raw. It's radical. They're talking about sacrifice. They're talking about laying down my life for the gospel. My God, I haven't heard that preached in about 20 years. They're talking about a person that is ready to devour that which has been devouring them, that they no longer have to live under their addiction. They no longer have to go backwards into their failure. They no longer have to allow their past to dictate their future, but they can move in the newness of God. Behold, I do a new thing. And you're here today and say, finally, finally the gospel makes sense. I want God and not the devil. I want Jesus and not Satan. I want life and not death. I want heaven and not hell. I want God in my life. And if you're bold enough, if that's you today, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up right where you are, signifying that's me. I want that. This is what I want. I don't want the devil. I don't want this world. I want God. I'm tired of that modern message. I'm tired of that lukewarm message. I want to go all the way with God. I want to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. Everybody to your feet. And if that's you today and you want heaven and not hell, Jesus and not the devil, you want to give your life to Christ and go all the way 100% with him, then move from where you're standing. And I challenge you to join me across this altar. Because when you get here, this is the place God will meet you and transform your life. This is the place. So come right now. Come from over there and over here. Every person who needs that change, come right now. Hallelujah. Oh, like a voice crying in the wilderness, Lord. We cry out to you, Lord. We say you are our God. We are open. We are open. We are open. Come on, come on. There's room for you. There's room for you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. I say, Ephatha, 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 Ephatha. I speak, Ephatha. Be opened in your unregenerated heart. Be open in your mind to receive. Be open in your spirit right now. Get out from where you're standing. You say, I want the kingdom. I want God. I want his message. I want everything. I don't want to lose anything. I want to go all the way and not part of the way. Then come, come. Christians are praying all over this room just for you. Come on, come on. From the very last row to the very front row, from the very side to the other side. This is your season. This is your new season. This is your new day. This is your new moment. God's been talking about you. God's been having his finger on you. God's been moving on you. God's been speaking to you in the middle of the night. God has shown up and he's telling you he has a plan for your life. I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, listen, honey, I'm telling you right now, this is your moment. I'll go with you. You're going to be greater than. You're going to be more than. I'll go with you. If you need that prayer, just let's do it right now. Then take them by the hand if they need it and bring them. Come on, you walk with them. Don't even hesitate. Just walk with them. Come on with them. Come on with them. Just identify with them because this is their moment. This is their season. God's about to do a new thing. Come on, all the way from the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Yay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hey. It's a new season. It's a new moment. It's a new day. Don't you judge church the way you've ever known it. Don't you judge the church the way you've ever seen it. God is revealing to you a new day, a new way, a new life. The kingdom of God has come to you, and your life will never be the same. Christians, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you reach a hand out and pray as if it's your mother, your brother, your sister, your daughter? Would you pray for them? Would you begin to cry out on their behalf? Everyone in this room is praying for you guys. Their hands are outstretched. They're believing for your life. God is moving and birthing in you something that he's never done before. You can expect new results and new testimonies of what he's going to do. Come on, church, pray, 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 pray. Release faith. Release your faith. Bind and loose. Let go. Command blessing. Come on, this is their time. This is their moment. This is their season. This is a new day. This is God speaking to a generation. Now everybody pray this prayer. Are you ready? Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you today for dying on the cross, shedding your blood for my sins. I come to you today with faith, believing that you are my God. You're my Savior, You're my deliverer. And I promise from this day to live for you and you alone. I renounce this world. I renounce the devil. And I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now, right here at this moment. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for believing in me, for making me new. And I promise from this moment forward that I will follow you with everything in my life. I will make you the Lord of every situation. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Now just tell him you love him. Come on, just tell him you love him. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, we don't have a lot of room, and you know, we just got to work with what we've got. But our altar ministers, can you help us? And I want to stand still for a minute. We want to pray with you, give you some material. We're not asking you to join this church. We're asking you to get into the kingdom of God. We'd love to have you here. It'd be awesome. And next Sunday, get in our Foundations of the Faith at 10:45 right here and learn about the kingdom of God and walk away from your past. Don't charge tomorrow based on your past. But we want to give you this information, so just be patient. Altar ministers, come on in there. Pray with them. Help them fill out this information. Church, what did you say last week? What did you say? You said last Sunday, the altar call will be the smallest one we've ever seen as a church. I don't know how many people are up here today, but it's your faith and your belief, and you're walking in a new dimension that is birthing people in the kingdom of God. Don't walk backwards. Let's keep moving forwards as a church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are we getting to them, everybody? Everybody have somebody? There's people here that I don't see anybody with. So come on and help us. We'll need some more helpers. Just penetrate the crowd if you can and make sure you talk to them. Right over here, there's about four or five that don't have anybody right here. There you go. Come on, honey. Come on, come on. Come on. Yeah, thank you. Somebody here, nobody praying with you? Somebody right here, one of the guys. Two guys right here, man. Jeff, could you pray with these guys? Come on, Chuck. There you go. Over here as well, Lowell right there. I can see better from up here. Anybody else? How about right here, this young man, Pastor Tossie, this young man right there in the yellow, Timmy, right there, yeah. Anybody else? That's not, there we go, there we go. Uh-huh, yeah, that's good, that's good. Hallelujah. 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 How many just want to praise him and thank him in one more worship song? Can we do it? Can we thank him for what he's done? Can we thank him for what he's doing? Come on, all over this room. Tears are rolling down the face of God's people. Oh, it's an awesome sight. All of heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says in Luke, if one soul gets saved, all of heaven rejoices. Look at this. God's people are rejoicing. Lift a hand up. listen, ladies and gentlemen. We leave this room today clothed in camel's hair. We want it raw and we want it radical. With a leather belt girded about our waist, we live a life of sacrifice and praise unto God. And we're a testimony. We're devouring everything that used to devour us. Because you're more than a conqueror. So you live right, love everybody, and pray hard. And tell somebody, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time, right here, Church on the North Coast. Believe in God for your breakthrough, your miracle, and your family's salvation.